this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. Our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and—
Welcome back, folks, to Republic Broadcasting Network here. Today is Memorial Day, May the 29th, 2023, and you are tuning in to The Concord Show, and I am your host, Maggie Rose, and today we're going to be discussing quite a few different things here that I feel is really important that we need to be looking at very closely. Today's date is a day to remember those that fell in the line of duty, whether it was a declared war, an undeclared war, or what we called in Korea during the 1950s and in Vietnam as police actions. Now, for those of you that have not really looked at your history recently, or some of you that are tuning in that really don't know your history, the Korean conflict, as we call it, was not really a war. It was a police action, and that was basically the first time that the National Guard, that should have been stateside taking care of their respective states, were sent overseas. What happened in Vietnam was a war of convenience for the CIA and for people like Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson and his wife Lady Bird. You see, Lady Bird Johnson was making money off the war effort. She, in cahoots with the CIA, were actually getting the poppies and everything out of Southeast Asia and out of Vietnam, and they were taking drugs over and having them processed in Thailand and other places. What many of you may not have known is that many of those drugs were sewn in the body bags of many of our soldiers and their corpses. For those of you that have not seen the made-for-TV movie called Air America, that is based on the true story of the CIA. You see, the CIA is a very corrupt three-letter, what I call alphabet soup agency. They're getting money from the federal government, which is the money we see skimming off on the top, to make them look legitimately to those of eyes up front. But down deep underneath, they are committing all kinds of crimes. And they're not even supposed to be working anywhere within the continental U.S., only outside the shores of the U.S. But we know that they have pulled many, many different missions and actions here within the borders of the United States, which in and of itself is a crime against all Americans, against the U.S. Constitution, and everything that our country stands for. So when we talk about the corruption of the FBI and how the corruption in the FBI, that how so much of the FBI has become infiltrated, good people in the FBI have been infiltrated with other people working among them. And it's not just the FBI, it's also the CIA. It's the IRS, which is really domiciled in Puerto Rico. And also in the District of Columbia, which is not even part of the United States. We are seeing so much corruption in this country. And here on Memorial Day, I want you to be able to sit back and think about all the people that were sent overseas, our men and women that died, thinking they were dying for America and to keep America safe. You know, mom and apple pie. And really, they were being used as cannon fodder by the deep state, by the globalists, by the New World Order, by people like the United Nations, by the globalist elite, those like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, which have been creating wars and building up governments and taking down governments for hundreds and hundreds of years. Many years ago, I was stationed in a National Guard unit with a woman whose father had served in the military, and he was stationed most of his tour in Southeast Asia, primarily in Vietnam. And she and her mother would get to go visit her father at one of the R&R camps along the ocean, along the beach there in South Vietnam. Her father was what she termed in the beginning as a hawk. He was very much for, you know, the military and the Department of Defense and, you know, supposedly one of the good guys. And then after a period of time in his 30 years in the military, he began to realize that he had been used and that people like the United Nations were sitting back during the Vietnam War and orchestrating everything that happened. Why were so many times many of our South Vietnamese soldiers and our U.S. military finding themselves being overrun, overtaken, and even infiltrated? It's because the United Nations back in the U.S. was letting the Russians and the Viet Cong know what we were doing, what our movements were, where we were going to be, where we were going. The United Nations was basically telling the enemy what our troop movement was and what our actions were. The United Nations, like the World Health Organization, is captured operation. The United Nations is not what it used to be, how it started off in the 1930s and 1940s, based originally created out of San Francisco, California. The United Nations has become completely out of touch with what their original mission statement was supposed to be. It has become so centralized with so many other sub-agencies and groups. That is why I've told people, do not donate to UNICEF anymore. Maggie Rose is saying this, do not donate to UNICEF. Back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and even maybe today, children used to go trick-or-treating with their little milk cartons that said UNICEF on them, to collect pennies to give to UNICEF, because supposedly it was going to help the United Nations fight children's hunger around the world. But we found out years later that that money was being utilized for uniforms and weapons to help soldiers, not any different than what was happening with Bill Clinton, was governor of Little Rock, Arkansas. And he was sending arms down to South America. And those arms were harming the people of those villages and of those countryside. And then they were flying drugs in through little Cessnas. And the drugs were being flown out of South America and into Arkansas and dropped somewhere on the ground around the MENA airport. And Bill Clinton, the governor, and his brother Roger, and a couple of their friends would have drug parties, snorting cocaine up their nose. And anybody who was aware of what they were doing either ended up dead, like the two boys that were out one summer night enjoying a bicycle ride. They were found dead and laid out across the train tracks. Or the girlfriend of one of the druggies that was one of the government officials working for then Governor Clinton, they all decided to put her in prison, to shut her up. She had the potential of being a whistleblower. We need to understand on this Memorial Day weekend that our country has been under attack for decades. And for those of you that are not aware of it, we are at war. World War IV and World War III had been basically going on for the last 5 to 10 years. And we have now a book that just came out by General Michael Flynn and a sergeant, both retired U.S. military. They co-authored the book together. It's a citizen's guide to understanding the fifth generation warfare and what it means for us in this country. On this Memorial Day, not only are you all out there barbecuing and maybe on the water with your ski boats and your jet boats and fishing, or out there with your families, maybe going to parades, putting up flags in the cemetery, but also remember that our country right now is at war. We are at war with the globalists, the elitists. Many of them you cannot see. The Bilderbergs, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Fords from Ford Foundation, the Clintons, the Obamas, and the Bushes especially. See, the Bushes came over here just before the end of World War II and right after World War II, and they changed their last name to Bush. That was not their last name originally. It was Schiff. And they brought a lot of scientists, many of them that had been in the concentration camps, doing the horrible experimentation on the young people and twins and others. They brought many of these horrible scientists with them. So those that did not go to South America with Hitler and others came to the U.S. and almost within hours and days of landing in the United States, they were given their citizenship and then put to work. And they brought with them something called fluoride. Fluoride is something which, when you drink water with fluoride in it, it literally has an effect on your brain and has a way of making you more pacified, more docile, sort of dumbed down. Unfortunately, many, many people across the United States are drinking water where the city is putting fluoride in their water, and they're saying it's to protect their teeth. No, it isn't. All this toothpaste that has fluoride in it. So people started purchasing toothpaste or making their own or purchasing toothpaste like Tom's toothpaste that was fluoride free. Well, people that run in the same circles with Bill Gates, who's a eugenics, and others have purchased up the company of Tom's and others. Now, I don't know if they paid them just the right amount of money or if they blackmailed them to sell. I do not know. But now all of a sudden we're finding Tom's natural toothpaste is primarily being made, almost all of the different flavors and brands of Tom's toothpaste is now with fluoride in it. There's a reason, folks. And in Oregon, they don't want fluoride in their water. But believe me, the globalists and the elitists were trying to push people like Tina Kotek and Betsy Johnson and Christine Drazen and Kate Brown and others to put fluoride in the water. Because you have to have water. But drinking water with fluoride in it has a chemical effect on you and it dumbs you down. And that is another reason why those who have decided not to get the inoculations, the chemical shot in their body, the experimental chemicals that compromise your immune system, that destroy your good DNA or RNA. Now Bill Gates wants to go and put these inoculations into lettuce, into animals before they go to market to be butchered for their meat. One way or another, he's determined that he's going to start changing the human DNA. Knowing that some of what they do is going to kill us, which is again part of his depopulation agenda. Here on Memorial Day weekend, you need to understand, you need to hear Stop burying your heads in the sand, folks, because you don't want to accept these things that are going on. 107 said not very long ago that in order to be able to take back your respective states, each state has to do it. They can't expect Trump or the Republican Party or the conservatives or the churches to all step forward and rescue you, your county, your city, or your state. Arizona has to take care of Arizona. California has to take care of California. Idaho has to take care of Idaho. Oregon has to take care of Oregon, and so on. And the two worst states in the union right now are Oregon and Washington State. Folks, you can keep packing up and moving and go to Kansas and go to Kentucky and go to Tennessee and go to Idaho and go to Wyoming and Montana. But eventually it's going to catch up, if not with you, with your children and grandchildren. So why not take a stand and stand for your state and stand for your family right where you are? Many of you are saying, I just can't take it anymore, Maggie Rose. The high taxation, the corruption, where even the Republicans in many cases are being bought or compromised or threatened. But I do know in the state of Oregon that the Democrats passed a bill called 113, and they did it deliberately, and they tricked the Oregonians into allowing this to be voted on and passed, stating that if anybody misses more than 7, 8, 9, 10 sessions of where they're supposed to be in there voting so there's a quorum, then after the next election, they couldn't run again. Everybody knows that that Oregon bill is illegal, the 113, that Oregonians have been lied to over and over again in order to pass certain measures that the Democrat-controlled majority wanted to go through. Years ago, when the Republicans realized the Democrats were cramming things through and using the basis of a quorum in order to do it, and not listening to Oregonians, not listening to any other party, the Republicans started to walk out. Some went to Idaho, some went to California. Kate Brown was shitting her pants because she wanted them back so there would be a quorum and she and her Democrats could push everything through. Well, finally, they were able to trick the Oregonians into this 113 measure. And God bless so many of the Republicans this time. Because in the beginning, it looked like they were all going to be liver-livid again, and they were going to just stand by and let this to happen. And they said no. And so they started to leave and walk out. Many of them knowing if under the current illegal measure 113, they may not be able to run again. But they could not let these measures the Democrats are trying to push get pushed through again. One of them being 2002, where parents have no rights. Their children can get pregnant at age 10 or 11, and an abortion can be done on them during school hours, and the child never has to tell the parents, and the parents never have to know. This is what our public school districts are doing. They feel that while your children are in public school, they own your child, and they can do whatever they want with your child between the hours of 7:30 and 4:30 in the evening. Children are being groomed and told, well, you may think you're a girl or boy, but do you really want to be a girl or boy? And making them question when they're in kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade, their own sexuality, when they're not even really sexual creatures yet. Books being published in the European Union and teaching children how to masturbate, teaching children how to look upon others of the same sex that maybe they might want to experiment. If they're a boy, experiment with another little boy, or a girl, experiment with another little girl. These are children that are supposed to be learning to read, write, and do arithmetic, supposed to be learning the history of their country and of the world. Children are supposed to be out on the playground playing like children, innocent and naive, for as long as we can keep them so. Sex education shouldn't even begun as in the case with myself and so many others that got by just perfectly fine until we were in sixth grade. And then we had 20 minutes a week of sex education and how babies were made. This was back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, folks. So by the time kids hit middle school of 7th, 8th, or 9th grade, then they were going through the changes. Then they were going into puberty. Why are they cramming this crap down our children in kindergarten, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd grade? Because they are trying to destroy the family. They're trying to destroy society. And if we stand by and do nothing, we're letting them do this. The things going on in this country, the child trafficking. Many of you, you will not even listen because you don't want to believe this is happening. That children are being trafficked up and down the I-5 corridor from California all the way up into Canada. That children are being put into a slavery type situation and then milked like cows for their blood, for their adrenochrome, after they have managed to put such fear in these children that their adrenaline goes way up and then they produce the more pure adrenochrome. Many of you don't want to hear it. You want to bury your head in the sand because it's too horrific for you to even believe that man is doing this to children. That men and women out there are making money doing this to children. But hiding your heads in the sand is not going to make it go away. It's not going to change the fact that this is going on all around the world. That child trafficking and sex trafficking makes more money than any of the drugs around this planet. The drugs can be sold once. A child can be sold over and over and over again repeatedly. And then when the child has outlived their usefulness, especially for the milking them of their adrenochrome, the children then are disposed of, literally. There is such evil in our world, folks, but there's such beauty too. I'm looking out over where I live. I'm looking at my tomato plants growing in the sun. I'm looking at the birds flying overhead. I'm looking at the deer crossing across the hills not too far from me. The people that have their cattle peacefully grazing in the pastures. And when I go downtown or I go across the street, you know, and I see the smiles on the faces of children and people playing in their front yards. And I realize, you know, there's a lot of good in this world. Basically, people are very kind, caring, compassionate human beings. But then there's this ugliness, and we need to expose it for what it is. We need to bring it out into the open. And on Memorial Day of all days, we need to remember all of our fallen military veterans, men and women. Many of the songs that they play, it's like the songs are all about men serving in the military, men giving their lives. But what about the women? Is our society still such, oh, we can't accept the fact women might die in war? Women that are supposed to be making the babies? You know, when I flew to LA the other day, to go down to a funeral. It was the funeral of a woman who I first met over 48 years ago. And once she and her husband got stationed back in the United States from Southeast Asia, I never saw them again. We linked up on Facebook just a few years ago. They had spent the last 40 years in Los Angeles, and then they had moved out of California, out of state. They lost their daughter just a few years ago, 6 months after her wedding, to sudden onset of this colon cancer. And then she herself passed away recently of cancer as well. And I flew down to go to her funeral, her memorial service, her mass, and watcher and turned. Her husband had been a supervisor of mine in Southeast Asia when I moved off base. And they also ended up becoming my landlords because I rented a room in their apartment for a period of time. And I got a lesson out of this. Do not wait 48 years to tell someone. If you can find them using social media or any other method, somebody that made a difference in your life, whether it was small or large, it does not matter. Someone who made a difference in your life in some way, who brought some positive memories into your life, who maybe helped you change or grow in a positive way. Do not wait 48 years to tell them or tell their spouse after they've already passed on. Tell them now. Both my husband and I have found over the years we have been betrayed by friends and family, both financially and in other ways. And we're here on this earth, which is like a schoolhouse, to learn certain lessons. And one of those lessons we're supposed to learn is forgiveness. But the greatest lesson of all here on this planet we call Earth, or the schoolhouse, the greatest lesson of all is to learn how to love. It's not just forgiveness or how to give service to your mankind or the importance of doing to others as you would have them do unto you. But on this Memorial Day weekend, realize that we are all here to serve each other, to grow and move forward and go into the light. And be able to expose the darkness for what it is. Remember what Lavoie Finnegan said. It matters how you stand. And love is one of the most important things that we can learn. To love ourselves and to love others. Even those we may not care for. Even those we may not like. Even those that are not deserving of our respect or deserving of our trust. Many of us came from family backgrounds growing up as children, horrible backgrounds. And in many cases, many people had horrific things happen to them. But does that define who you are today and now? It doesn't have to. On this Memorial Day weekend, I want us to also extend not only gratitude and thanks to those that have served our country in one capacity or another, and especially those who gave their lives, not realizing they were cannon fodder of a new world order, of a globalist elitist, but truly believe that they are standing for America and trying to keep the evil and the darkness at bay. But also, let's remember each other. And that we can move forward together as a team trying to make this world a better place. On this Memorial Day weekend, when people are barbecuing and having a great time with family and friends, let's remember what this day really is supposed to represent. And we should celebrate the military and those who've given their lives every day of the year, not just this one day out of the year. We're going to go to a station break, folks. This is Maggie Rose. I'll be right back.
Got a slow leak in my left front tire. I'm sick of where I work. My boss is such a jerk. Don't care if I get fired. My back's about to break. No money in the bank. She don't call me anymore. I'm down to my last rake. It's time to sell my things and pack my bag.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Welcome back, folks, here to Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and I would like to put a shout out to Samantha Frost, also to Nan Isaacson, and also to Marge Cunningham. They're out there in the listening audience right now, and they're hailing out of Douglas County, Oregon. Again, a shout out to Samantha Frost, to Nan Isaacson, and to Marge Cunningham in Douglas County, Oregon. I also want to say hello to Francisco. He was a young man that was taking care of the front desk at the hotel I was at in Los Angeles. A nice young man. He is originally from Spain. And he was telling me some of the stories of what happened during the COVID. And one of these days he's going to come on the show with us. But why he was kind of forced to take that one jab. Because he was a professional basketball player, and they weren't going to let him play basketball if he didn't take the jab. And so many people were threatened and blackmailed and coerced in taking the jab. But he now knows what is going on, and he will not take another one no matter what. So, and he had many family and friends that refused to take the jab in Spain. So I want to put a shout out to him. I also want to put a shout out to the security guy that I ran into near where my uncle used to live. And his name is Dodie, and he was the security guard that was driving around up in Beverly Hills and Benedict Canyon, and we sort of ran into each other the other day. So we had a nice long conversation about the nature of what's going on in this country and what's happening around the world. And folks, you would really be surprised how many people out there from all walks of life, all cultures, all ethnic backgrounds, they are waking up. They are aware of what's happening in this country. They may be silent minority or even a silent majority. They could be your neighbors, the people you go to church with. These conversations may not be conversations you have with them, but believe me, there are people that are waking up and they're beginning to understand that for, if not for decades, for centuries, people around the world have been lied to and we've been duped. Now, I would like to go a little bit into this book. This is a book that I was told about, and regardless of how you feel about Mr. General Michael Flynn, this is a really, really good book. It was written by General Michael Flynn, Lieutenant General of the U.S. Army retired, and Boone Cutler, Sergeant U.S. Army retired, and this is the Session 1, November 2022 edition. It's called The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare. Again, The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare. And one of the things I wanted, that I thought was really important, I should read to you out of this book. And it's even got little homework assignments after you complete with some of the chapters. There was a guy by the name of Fun Kuldelic, and he said, quote, "Free your mind, and then your ass will follow." What is the Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare? It is designed to educate the public on a form of warfare currently being waged against all of us, Americans and other freedom-loving nations around the world. In warfare, there are opposing sides, and in fifth generation warfare, identifying the adversaries is even more difficult due to the nature of the war itself. Fifth generation warfare, or otherwise known as 5GW, is best defined as a war of narratives. This citizen's guide teaches how to break through the many narratives imposed on society today by an overreaching federal government, an out-of-control security state, and a weaponized media and corporate and social media titans. The citizen's guide does not direct action. It simply exists to help readers understand the very complex nature of warfare in the simplest terms possible. It is designed for the layperson. As you read through the pages, you'll gain a deeper understanding of the dynamic battle space upon which we are operating. Yes, we are at war, and the war is very real. After reading this guide, you should have a far deeper understanding of the principles and terms that surround and define five-generation warfare, the ideas about who the adversaries are, and how they are arrayed to oppose our way of life. Lastly, we hope to present ideas about how to defeat this determined foe. Now, first, your neighbors are most likely not your neighbor. Your neighbors are most likely not your enemy. Regardless of their beliefs, they are just as confused with the same anxieties that you have. Any sort of violence against each other provides the shadowy governments with excuses and conditions to impose more restrictive rules and laws, as well as an ability to add increased numbers of people to enforce these laws. If you are reading the Citizen's Guide, the first thing to do is share this information, no matter what country you are in. Your primary enemy is the shadowy government that is manipulating you to hate someone else. You must arm your friends, your neighbors, and even those whom you don't get along with. You must provide them with this information and shake hands. Recruit even those you've seen as enemies to teach them what's happening so that for the first time in history, the mass of people worldwide can take back liberty for themselves in whatever country they live. It all starts with the proper education to make the appropriate plan and then execute that plan. And in today's global environment, it will take worldwide citizenry to organize and mobilize smartly, civically, and professionally. Governments cause the wars. Militaries and citizens do not. The phrase, quote, it takes a network to defeat a network, unquote, has been applied to many topics and issues. In this instance, we are each other's allies. Our growing network of citizens worldwide must stand together against the network of globalist power brokers who wish to destroy the individual identities of nation states to establish a new normal, aka their new world order. If by any chance real physical war begins with or between other nations, then pray that we are ready. But let war come from consent of the governed, not from a mandate of those who were never legitimately elected. Our fight today is not between people of different nations. Instead, it is a fight of all people against globalist oppressors who are willing to strip us of our individual national identities and the most basic of human rights. If we lose, it will be the end of freedom as we know it worldwide. And we will all live or die at the command of one rich king with an invisible hand. The plan of the oppressors is to create a defenseless people in borderless countries who have limited or non-existent parental rights. Throughout this guide, you will see how they plan to get there. One purpose of this guide is to help you make smarter decisions based on a deeper understanding of what you're up against, instead of making decisions based on your emotions. Malcolm X, who was assassinated civil rights activist one time, said, and believe me, I wasn't normally for Malcolm X, but he said, I'm for truth, no matter who tells it. I'm for justice, no matter who it is for or against. I am a human being, first and foremost. And as such, I'm for whoever and whatever benefits humanity as a whole. Unquote. Malcolm X. Now, most people in all categories and walks of life are unaware of the information that we will find in this Citizen's Guide. With very few exceptions, this form of warfare is taught to a small segment of our military and to those working inside our national security organizations, such as the various components of the U.S. intelligence community. What we need to do as citizens is to read and understand this information and then challenge those who shape the environment around us. We should assume that several categories of people know what is in this guide. Some of the specialized elements within our military, such as our special operations forces, some of those serving in the United States intelligence community, such as inside the various security services. Unquote. And folks, I want to say that as Maggie Rose, that also includes the FBI and the CIA, because he goes on to say, and this would include the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Central Intelligence Agency, National Security Agency, Diplomatic Security Service. However, others who influence our daily lives won't have a clue, typically, about what you're talking about when it comes to the fifth generation warfare, or the 5GW. These include most lawmakers, many law enforcement officers, most religious leaders, most social media influencers that you follow, most podcasters that you listen to, and many of the military veterans. They won't have a clue typical of what we're talking about when it comes to fifth generation warfare. Quote, our responsibility as citizens is to challenge and inform those, quote, leaders, unquote, in our communities and those others we follow for our everyday news and information to gain a better understanding of what we're facing from an overreaching government. In that matter, we can inform them as to why they feel like something isn't quite right, and why that feeling is difficult to identify. Lastly, this guide is not only for the people of the United States of America, but it is also written as a guide for all freedom-loving people everywhere on planet Earth. It takes a network to defeat a network, said General Stanley McChrystal, U.S. Army retired, who is also the author of Team of Teams, New Rules of Engagement for a Complex World. Now, folks, if you're interested in this Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare, the introduction to 5GW or Fifth Generation Warfare, go to Amazon. The authors are Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, U.S. Army retired, and Sergeant Boone Cutler, U.S. Army retired. And you could find the book there. We might be going over a few sections of it from time to time, but if you ever get a chance to talk to either of those individuals, let them know that Maggie Rose and Republic Broadcasting Network sent you. Now, I have something here that I wanted to play for you that was something that, and I'm only going to be able to play a part of it, but it's something that's very important that we need to understand what is happening right now and why right now we have a kinetic war on U.S. home front and the Communist Party's plans to attack America. And what I'm going to do is you can find this actually on rumble.com, but there's a certain section here that I think is really important that I need to play. And let me see if you can bear with me for just a second, see if I can find it. Okay, here we go. Now, this right here is J.R. Nyquist, and he's explaining what is going on, how we're being infiltrated by the Red Chinese Army, that for years they've been sending people into places like California, Kansas, Oregon, Idaho, Washington State. They are staging their weapons, their biological chemical weapons, their guns, their uniforms, and they are just waiting for the green light because they do plan to invade the United States from within. They are already here. There are cells that are planted throughout the United States in some of our national forests and some of the closed military bases. And we have many of our Democrat governors that are playing along to get along. And they don't realize once they've outlived their usefulness as useful idiots, they'll be thrown in the same bag that we are. Here we go. See if we can get this right here. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
About communist involvement in cocaine trafficking in the Western Hemisphere and how Cuba and China and Russia...
Let me see if I can... I'm still trying to get this part here.
Developing military and intelligence coordination between Russia and China, not just under the Soviet Union, but under the new Russian Federation that had taken shape after at the very end of 1991. Here's what Lunev had to say about Chinese strategic plans. He said in 1991, the Chinese and Russian intelligence services signed a treaty to share all intelligence on the United States and to coordinate all their intelligence operations. There was a 1992 post-Soviet plan of invasion in a projected future war with the United States, where China would acquire the lower 48 states and Russia would get Alaska and parts of Canada. This invasion plan, Lunev often spoke of as involving the pre-war infiltration of the United States by special troops and cadres and agents. And the construction of hidden weapons caches, uniforms, and other supplies. He even testified before Congress about Russia's methodology for choosing sites for hiding nuclear weapons in the United States, which would be deployed in the months preceding a war. He said chemical and biological weapons would also be smuggled into the United States and used. He also told me something interesting. He said that they would attempt...
Sorry about that.
To make these forces appear like they might be Arab terrorists or might be the actions of another country, not Russia, maybe not even China. So you wanted to create the maximum confusion. And he often said that the operational model for this invasion of the United States was inspired by Hitler's 1940 invasion of Norway. And in that invasion, you know, Norway is not connected directly to Germany by land. So Germany had to do an oversea, a cross-water invasion of Norway to take it. And so Lunev would discuss the various elements of this invasion that really fascinated Russian planners and would obviously be on the mind of Chinese planners. First, they had control of the defense minister of Norway. Vidkun Quisling was a Nazi sympathizer. And so the defense of Norway was in the hands of a German agent, in essence. Quisling was able to disrupt or sabotage aspects of Norway's defense as this infiltration invasion was beginning. Lunev said that the Chinese would aim to acquire such Quislings in the U.S. administration and in various U.S. agencies to help facilitate their infiltration. The leading edge of German troops in the invasion of Norway would enter as civilian tourists. So we've had a discussion about Chinese entering. You have, you know, China and America, like Norway and Germany before 1940, were trading partners. There's a lot of ships going back and forth. There's traffic. There's people going back and forth. And what the Germans did is that they had secretly planted arms caches with uniforms and everything in Norway in the event of a future war, so that German soldiers could enter as tourists from Sweden or wherever, and they could just go put on those uniforms at a given time, take those weapons, and they could seize airfields, they could assassinate key officials, they could hit power stations, and they could grab port facilities to help enable the invasion of the country as an infiltration invasion. This would facilitate, you know, German plane loads of troops coming into airfields and feel safe to be able to land. The main invasion force, the largest number of German troops, of course, were going to arrive by merchant ship along with their heavy equipment. And so since German merchant ships were accustomed to just coming into Norwegian ports and offloading, these ships would be filled with German troops. And they were, and with heavy weapons, so that they could, all they needed to do was secure the ports with their advanced troops. The idea of the advanced commando troops was, Lunev called it the Brandenburg Regiment concept. The Brandenburg Regiment was controlled by German military intelligence, just like the Spetsnaz troops of Russia and China are controlled by their military intelligence. The attack would be calculated to paralyze the government, to spread confusion, fear, and demoralization, and to assure the rapid collapse of the defense, which is what happened in Norway. It was quite well done in 1940. And the Russians envisioned this future invasion of America as Mexico playing a very vital role in this. Lunev would often say that the Zimmermann telegraph, which was a German diplomat who said, hey, maybe Mexico could be our ally, that it was ahead of its time, but it was the right idea, that Mexico could be an infiltration route and an ally, that this was something that had to be developed also clandestinely. Now, what's interesting is that we do have evidence, you know, and people can debate about it, along the lines, testimony and evidence for Chinese preparations along these lines that Lunev spoke of. This evidence uncovered in Mexico has been presented by an American journalist named Scott Gulbranson in a book titled The Silent Invasion, which was published a little over 20 years ago. Gulbranson, with his Mexican sources, found the following items. Smuggling of arms and ammunition by China through the port of Ensenada, which they were managing at the time. Testimony on the presence of Chinese, Russian, and Cuban special forces troops training at secret locations in Mexico's northern deserts. He had testimony from a Tijuana policeman who supplied these troops with food. And that Tijuana policeman was assassinated. Later in his book, he describes how this man was killed. And then the smuggling of arms and ammunition across the U.S. border to create actual arms caches and uniform caches in the United States. And there he went to witnesses, actual officers of the U.S. Border Patrol and others, who gave him information about how smuggling worked and how the corruption of border officials facilitated the movement of drugs, but also the movement of Chinese arms. And Lunavid always said that the movement of the weapons of mass destruction prior to the invasion would follow the roots that of narcotics trafficking, which was it was integrated into communist strategy. And of course, you go to Joe Douglas's book, Red Cocaine, about communist involvement in cocaine trafficking in the Western Hemisphere and how Cuba and China and Russia have been involved in this. And anyone who's a regular reader of the LA Times can see that the LA Times has written about how the Mexican mafias are basically sister mafias of the Russian mafia, and that the Russian mafia guides them, and so do the, and the Chinese triads are there too, and even the North Koreans are involved. So and so much of the evidence and the things we're seeing now are, if it's sporadic and it's weak evidence, it's suggestive of what Lunev was talking about. And it's interesting to note, for what a earlier speaker mentioned, is the secret speech of Chiao Chen has many points of agreement with Lunev's testimony. Chiao Chen also spoke of the division of North America and China acquiring the lower 48 states, just as Lunev had said. And he said that Taiwan was not the real target of China's future war, but they were going to make a lot of noise about Taiwan, that the real target was America, and that biological weapons would play an essential role in attacking the United States, so that one might expect a pandemic in advance of an invasion. So those are my remarks. Thank you.
Jeff, fascinating.
So there you go, folks. This is something that we've been suspecting for some time, that it is not really Taiwan that they want. It is America. They want Canada and Alaska to go to the Russians, and the lower 48 states will belong eventually to communist China. And again, the gentleman who was speaking is Jeff, middle initial R, Nyquist, Nyquist. He is a strategist. He also is a gentleman who has written a book, and the book that he has written is entitled The Origins of the Fourth World War. Again, that's The Origins of the Fourth World War. Again, it's J.R., also called Jeff. J.R. Nyquist, Nyquist. He's a strategist, an essayist, a blogger, and an author of the book called The Origins of the Fourth World War. Now, in the days ahead, we're going to be covering a lot more. On this Friday, we're going to have Chris Brumbles and Jim Hoffman both come back again. We're going to do our Friday roundtable. And I want you all to have a safe rest of the Memorial Day weekend. I am your host, Maggie Rose. This is Republic Broadcasting Network. Please send your generous donations to Republic Broadcasting Network and let them know you've been listening to Maggie Rose on The Concord Show. God bless you all and have a good night.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. Take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You can't have handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.